بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson, we come to the 36th hadith from Al-Arba'un al-Nawawiyyah. The author, rahimahullah, he said, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من نفس عن مؤمن كربة من كرب الدنيا نفس الله عنه كربة من كرب يوم القيامة. On the authority of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, who said, whoever relieves a believer from a distress of this world, Allah will relieve him of a distress from the distresses of the day of resurrection. وَمَنْ يَسَّرَ عَلَى مُعْسِرٍ يَسَّرَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. And whoever facilitates for one in debt, Allah will facilitate for him in this world and the hereafter. وَمَنْ سَتَرَ مُسْلِمًا سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. And whoever covers a Muslim, i.e. conceals the sin of a Muslim or the weakness of a Muslim, Allah will cover him in this world and the hereafter. وَاللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِيهِ. And Allah is in the aid of his slave as long as he is in aid of his brother. وَمَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا سَهَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever pursues a path seeking knowledge, Allah will make easy for him a path to paradise. وَمَا اجْتَمَعَ قَوْمٌ فِي بَيْتٍ مِّن بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ بَيْنَهُمْ. And no people gather together in a house of Allah, reciting the book of Allah, and studying it amongst themselves. إِلَّا نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةِ. Except that tranquility descends upon them. وَغَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةِ. And mercy envelops them. وَحَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. And the angels surround them. وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَهِ. And Allah remembers them or makes mention of them with those who are with him. وَمَنْ بَطَّأَ بِهِ عَمَلُهُ لَمْ يُسْرِعْ بِهِ نَسَبُهُ. And whoever is slowed down by his actions, he will not be hastened by his lineage. He said, Rawahu Muslim bihadha al-lafz. And this hadith was collected by Muslim with this wording. So this hadith was narrated by the virtuous Sahabi, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who is Abdurrahman ibn Sakhar al-Dawsi al-Yamani, who was born 19 years before the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam from this tribe, Qabilatul Daws. And he accepted Islam and he came to Al-Madina, or rather Al-Khaybar, 7 years after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he was 28 years old when he accepted Islam. And he accompanied the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam for only 3 years, and yet he was the one who narrated the most amount of hadith. So he was a hafidh of the hadith and a narrator of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, he mentioned that over 800 people from the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, they narrated hadith through Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. And he died 57 Hijri. And previously we spoke about the biography of Abu Huraira radiallahu an. As for this blessed hadith, this hadith encourages us to show goodness to others and to have care and concern for others. And in this hadith is an encouragement to seek knowledge. And also in this hadith is an encouragement to devote ourselves to the masajid and the great reward for each of these actions. And before we begin studying the hadith, this hadith contains a great principle from the principles of Islam. And it is al-jaza' min jins al-amal. Al-jaza'u min jins al-amal. That the reward or the punishment that Allah gives somebody is according to the type of action that person did. And this is an Islamic principle which emanates from the justice of Allah and His wisdom, and from the perfection of the Sharia. That whenever Allah wants to reward somebody for an action which they did, He rewards them according to the action which they did and according to its type. And also when somebody is deserving of punishment, he deserves the punishment according to the action which he did. And the punishment is the same type as the sin which that person did. Al-jaza'u min jins al-amal. We have to memorize this. Al-jaza'u min jins al-amal. That the recompense, the reward or the punishment for something is according to the type of action. So those who did good in this dunya, Allah gives them a similar type of goodness in the akhirah. And those who did evil in this dunya, Allah gives them a punishment which is to a similar type of the evil which they did in this dunya. And the two main evidences for this is the saying of Allah, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. That is the reward of goodness except goodness, i.e. the same type of goodness. And he said, ثُمَّ كَانَ عَاقِبَةَ الَّذِينَ أَسَاءُ. And then the ending of those who did evil was evil. And to clarify this, there are many examples in the Quran and the Sunnah that Allah rewards and punishes a person in the same way or in the same type of action that person did. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ar-rahimun yarhamuhumur rahman." That those who show mercy to others, the Most Merciful shows mercy to them. "Irhamu man fil ard yarhamukum man fis sama." Show mercy to those who are upon the earth, and the one who is above the heavens will show mercy to you. So notice from this blessed hadith that the reward which Allah gives is the same type as the action which the person did. The person showed mercy to those who were upon the earth, so Allah rewards that person with a similar type of reward, that Allah shows him mercy as well. He showed mercy upon the earth, so Allah showed mercy from the heavens upon this person. So the type of reward is similar to the type of action. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Ma naqasat sadaqatu min malin qat." That charity never takes away anything from a person's wealth. Charity does not diminish a person's wealth. Rather, through charity, the wealth of a person and the barakah in that wealth, it is increased. So notice the action of the person and the reward, and that the reward is similar type to the type of the action. This person, he gave money for the sake of Allah. Allah rewarded him by increasing him in his wealth. So the reward was the same type as the action which the person did. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma tawadha'a ahadun illa rafa'ahu Allah." That whenever a person humbles himself, Allah raises that person. So notice the action and the type of reward they match. That this person, he lowered his standing for the sake of Allah, for the sake of the truth in front of the people. So Allah rewarded him in his standing, and he honors him and he increases him. وَمَنْ تَكَبَّرَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَضَعَهُ اللَّهِ. And whoever is proud and haughty and arrogant in front of the people, Allah debases that person, Allah lowers that person. So notice, the punishment is of the same type as the sin. This person, he elevated his own standing in front of the people out of oppression. So how did Allah punish him? By lowering his standing in front of the people. مَنْ أَحْسَنَ إِلَى الْخَلْقِ أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ. Whoever shows goodness to the people, Allah shows goodness to him. So notice again, this person showed ihsan to the people, so Allah showed ihsan to him as reward. The same type of reward. مَنْ عَفَى عَنِ النَّاسِ عَفَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. Whoever pardons and forgives the people, Allah rewards him by pardoning him and forgiving him. Did a particular type of good deed, Allah rewards him with the same type of reward. مَا نَقَسَ قَوْمٌ الْمِكْيَالَ وَالْمِيزَانَ إِلَّا قَطَعَ عَنْهُمْ الرِّزْقِ. Whoever deceives the people in weighing goods and measuring goods, except that Allah will cut off his rizq. So notice the sin which this person did and the punishment which was a similar type of the action. That this person was cheating others with regards to measuring and buying and selling. So Allah punishes him in his rizq with the same type of action. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man wasala rahimahu wasalahu Allah." Whoever keeps the ties of kinship, Allah keeps ties with that person. وَمَنْ قَطَعَهَا قَطَعَهُ اللَّهُ. And whoever breaks the ties of kinship, Allah breaks off from that person. Notice, the good action and the reward was of a similar type. This person kept the ties of kinship, so Allah kept ties with him. This person broke the ties of kinship, so Allah breaks off from him. مَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنِ اللَّهِ أَعْرَضَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. Whoever turns away from Allah, Allah turns away from him. وَمَنْ تَقَرَّبَ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَقَرَّبَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ أَكْثَرُ. And whoever comes close to Allah, then Allah comes even closer to that person. Again, الْجَزَاءُ مِنْ جِنْسِ الْعَمَلِ. The type of reward or the type of punishment which Allah gives is according to the type of action. Nasullaha fa'ansahum. Nasullaha fa'nasiyahum. They forgot Allah, so Allah forgot them. Same punishment for the same type of action. And this is a constant theme throughout the Sharia. Al-jaza'u min jinsil amal. That the reward for an action is the same type as the good deed. And the punishment for an action is the same type as the action which that person did. And this applies to different areas of fiqh. So for example, the ulama mention in the hadith of Mu'adh, أَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. That follow up a bad deed by doing a good deed and it will wipe it away. If somebody did a bad deed, he should follow up this bad deed immediately by doing a good deed. And this good deed, it will wipe away the bad deed. The ulama say that that which is most recommended is that the good deed which you do should be similar in type to the bad deed which you did. So for example, you looked at something which was haram, follow it up by looking into the Mus'haf and reciting the Qur'an. Because your bad deed was a look which you did in something which was haram, so your good deed should be also looking at that which is pleasing to Allah. You listen to something haram, so listen to something which pleases Allah. You took wealth in a way which was haram, follow it up by giving wealth in that which is pleasing to Allah. You went to a place which was displeasing to Allah, go to a place which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, al-jaza min jins al-amal. Always, the recompense is according to the type of action. And this hadith is also another evidence for this principle. Al-jaza'u min jins al-amal. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man naffasa an mu'minin kurbatan min kurabi dunya, نفس الله عنه كربة من كرب يوم القيامة. That whoever relieves the distress of a believer from the distresses of the dunya, how does Allah reward that person? With the same type of reward. Then Allah will relieve his distress in the dunya and the akhirah. So any believer who is going through any type of distress, any type of anxiety, and you should try to relieve his distress and relieve his anxiety of the dunya. I.e., it could be something which is worldly, money problems, family problems, housing problems, seeking refuge, or it could be something which is Islamic. And if you relieve his distress from the distresses of the dunya, then Allah will reward you min jins al-amal, with the same type of reward. That Allah will relieve your distress in the dunya and the akhirah. And notice, although al-jaza'u min jins al-amal, that the reward is according to the type of action, meaning the Prophet said, man naffasa, and then he said, naffasa Allah. That whoever relieves, Allah relieves. So, the reward is similar in type. But in amount and extent, it is different. Because you relieve a distress from the distresses of the dunya, but Allah relieves for you a distress from the distresses of the dunya and the akhirah. And no doubt, the distress which is in the akhirah is much, much greater than the distress and the anxieties of the dunya. So although we say al-jaza'u min jins al-amal, that the reward or the punishment is according to the type of action, however in terms of the extent of the reward and the reality of the reward, then there's a great difference between both of them. And then the Prophet said, وَمَنْ يَسَّرَ عَلَىٰ مُعْسِرٍ يَسَّرَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. That if there is a person in debt, and he's mu'asir, he genuinely is finding it difficult to repay the loan. If somebody makes it easy for him, then also Allah will give him ease in the dunya and the akhirah. So this person was in a difficulty, you facilitated this difficulty and made it easy for him, then Allah will facilitate and make easy for you your difficulties of the dunya and the akhirah. And this is with regards to a person who is in a financial debt. And the debts which are upon the person are two types. Either it is a debt which he has from you, he owes you money, a direct debt, or he has a debt with other people. The ulama, they say that if this person has a debt from you and he is mu'asir, and he's finding difficulty in paying it back, then it is an obligation for the believer to give him further time. Obligation, wajib. Not recommended, not mustahab. Rather, it is an obligation for you to delay for him and give him more time. And if this person comes to you and says that I have a debt with somebody else, and can you help or facilitate, then it isn't wajib, but it is very highly recommended and encouraged. So for example, a person borrowed from you £1,000, and he's genuine, and you know that he's being truthful, and he's working and he's trying to pay you off, but he has other debts and other bills. And he says to you, look, we agree that I would pay £1,000 by the end of this month, but I can only pay a third of it at the end of this month, and I need another month to pay the other third, and I need a third month to pay the last third. It is an obligation upon you as a Muslim to give him some leeway. An obligation. As Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimullah mentioned, because Allah said in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَإِنْ كَانَ ذُو عُسْرَةٍ فَنَظِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٍ, that if the one in debt is ذو عسرة, is in a difficult situation, فَنَظِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٍ, then delay him. Delay his paying the debt back until it becomes easy for him. This can be in different ways. Either you could say, okay, I don't need the money now, give it to me in 6 months' time. Or you could say, okay, pay whatever you can pay now, and then when the next month comes, then you can pay another installment. But whatever it is, that facilitates and makes it easy for this person. However, if his debt was with somebody else, then it's not wajib upon you. Because it isn't wajib upon you to help him pay debts of other people. But it is something which is recommended, and it enters into this hadith. Of course, nowadays, there are many people who say that they're finding difficulty, but in reality they're being greedy and they don't want to pay, or it is because of their own foolishness. These people don't enter into this hadith. And aslan, those who are foolish and those who don't know how to spend and those who overspend, we don't give them the wealth. And Allah said, وَلَا تُؤْتُ سُفَهَاءَ أَمْوَالَكُمْ, don't give the sufaha. And the meaning of safi here is the one who doesn't know how to spend and save and just waste and overspend. This person, don't give him your wealth. So for example, when you're walking in the town, and often homeless people or beggars come up to you and they're asking money from you, don't give them money, because these people, they don't know how to spend. And what they will do is they will take your money, and then the money which they are receiving from the government to buy food and drink with, they'll spend that on alcohol and drugs. And therefore, if you're in that situation and you want to do an act of goodness, then it's better for you to buy food for that person. So you say, look, I'll buy a coffee for you, or I'll buy a sandwich for you. As for giving wealth to him and he's foolish and he doesn't know how to spend, then this is going to cause more harm to him. But if you know that the person is genuine and he's in a situation of difficulty, or most likely he's in a situation of difficulty and he owes you the debt, then the obligation upon you is to give him some respite, give him some delay, make it easy for him, allow to pay in installments. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَمَنْ سَتَرَ مُسْلِمًا سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, and whoever conceals and covers a Muslim, then Allah will conceal him in the dunya and the akhirah. Meaning, if you see a person who has a weakness or is sinning, then you should conceal and cover his weakness and his sin. And if you do that in the dunya, then Allah will reward you with a similar type of reward, min jinsil amal, in that He will conceal and cover your sins and weaknesses in the dunya and the akhirah. And whoever exposes the weaknesses and the sins of his Muslim brother, then in the other narration, Allah will expose that person in the dunya and the akhirah. Al jaza'u min jinsil amal. So for example, or we could say that this concealing, it falls into three categories. Firstly, that you conceal the sin of a person or the weakness of a person and it has a good effect, and therefore you have to conceal it. Or you conceal the sins and the mistakes and the actions of this person, but it has a detrimental effect, a bad effect. You're not allowed to conceal his sins. Now you have to expose his sins. Or you conceal the sins of a person or the actions of the person, and neither does it result in something good or something harmful. And in that situation, it is better for you to conceal the sins and the actions and the weaknesses of that person due to this hadith. So for example, the first scenario. There's a person, a Muslim, a righteous person, a person of taqwa, and he is doing sins which are private and personal to him. He isn't harming anybody. So for example, let's say this person, you find out that he's listening to music, or he's doing another sin inside his house. This person is a person of taqwa, a person of righteousness, and nobody is perfect. And the sins which he has are between him and Allah, and he's doing it in his house. But qaddar Allah, you found out. It isn't allowed for you to expose his sins to the people. I saw Fulan listening to this and this, and looking at this and this. Or you saw an email from a person, between a person and a woman. And yet that person, he's a Muslim, a good person, but it's his weakness, it's his sin. You're not allowed to then forward those emails to other people, or take screenshots, or send text messages. Rather, you conceal the sins of that person, and you advise him. You can advise him with gentleness, you can advise him with harshness. If it is required for you to tell another person to advise him, then this is also permitted. Then you have another person who is doing sins and actions, however his actions are harming other people. So if you were to conceal his sins, more harm is going to result from this, because he's going to carry on harming other people. This type of person, it isn't allowed for you to conceal his sins and his actions and crimes. Rather, he has to be exposed, so he isn't harming other people. So a criminal, for example, whose crimes affect other people, we don't conceal his sins. Rather, he is to be exposed, and he is exposed to the authorities. Or an innovator whose doubts are affecting people, we don't conceal his actions. Rather, he's exposed and refuted, and his doubts are removed from the people. And like this. And then the third type is where a person is doing an action, and whether you conceal him or whether you expose him, it doesn't result in goodness or harm. It's possible this and it's possible that. In this scenario, it is better for you to conceal his sins and his actions. So you enter into this hadith. And also, like some of the salaf would say, لَأَنْ أُخْطِي فِي الْعَفْوِ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ أُخْطِي فِي الْعُقُوبَةِ, that for me to make a mistake in pardoning him is better than me making a mistake in punishing him. I, you err on the side of caution. So to err in forgiveness and pardoning is better than erring in punishment and exposure. And so you enter into this hadith. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wallahu fi auni al-abdi ma kana al-abdu fi auni akhi." That as long as a person is helping other Muslims, then Allah will remain helping this person. Al-jaza min jins al-amal. And this is only when you're helping that person in those actions which are permitted, not haram. Because Allah said in the Quran, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Cooperate and help each other upon righteousness and piety, and do not cooperate with each other upon sinning and oppression. So you helping a person in goodness or anything which is permitted, even from the matters of the dunya, then Allah helps you in the dunya and also in the akhirah. And Allah said in the Quran, وَأَحْسَنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And show goodness to others, because Allah loves those who show goodness. And this goodness and this help and this support can be in many, many different ways. So for example, you see an old person and it's difficult for him to bow down to pick his shoes up. So you bring your shoes to him. Allah helps you. You see an old person and he needs to sit down to pray, so you bring the chair for him. Allah is also helping you. You give a person a lift who is walking. You help somebody with their shopping. You have a neighbor who needs help, so you help them. All of this enters into that whoever is aiding and helping his brother, then Allah is helping and aiding that person. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَمَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا سَهَّلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِهِ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. That whoever sets out on a path in seeking knowledge, Allah will make for him the path to Jannah easy. Again, الْجَزَاءُ مِنْ جِنْسِ الْعَمَلِ. That you embarked on a path to please Allah in seeking knowledge. So Allah rewarded you by guiding you to the path which takes you to Jannah. And the knowledge which is referred to here is the knowledge of the Sharia, not secular knowledge. As for secular knowledge, then its reward is based upon the type of knowledge and the intention of the person. So if that secular knowledge is something which is recommended, then there is reward. And if that knowledge is something which is makruh, then it is disliked. And if that knowledge is something which is haram, then it is haram and there is punishment. And if that knowledge is something which is wajib, then there is reward and it is wajib, even if it is secular. And if that knowledge is something which is permitted, neither an obligation nor is it haram, then according to your intention. So for example, a person studies the English language. A person studies the English language in order to give da'wah to the people, he is rewarded. A person studies English language in order to go and do sin and travel to the various countries for sin, then it is haram. A person studies English so he can earn a living and provide for his family and earn from that which is halal and be independent of the people, it is something which is good. A person studies engineering because the ummah is in need of this science and nobody else has it. It becomes wajib. So the branches of science and learning which are mubah, permitted, according to the type of knowledge and the intention of that person. And Allah only makes the path to Jannah easy for this person if his seeking knowledge was sincere for the sake of Allah. As for a person who seeks knowledge to show off, or like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man talaba al-ilm liyujari bihi al-ulama." Whoever sought knowledge to compete and to debate with the ulama, or yumari bihi sufaha, or whoever sought knowledge to belittle the ignorant. لَمْ يَرِحْ رَائِحَةَ الْجَنَّةِ. This person will not smell the fragrance of Jannah. This person will not smell the fragrance of Jannah. And sometimes we find from the Salaf that they said, طَلَبْنَا الْعِلْمَ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ فَأَبَى أَنْ يَكُونَ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. They said that we sought knowledge for other than Allah, and knowledge refused to come to us except if it was for Allah. What these statements mean is that these great ulama, these great imams, when they initially began seeking knowledge, they didn't do it particularly out of ikhlas, because they didn't know the reality of ikhlas, because they didn't have knowledge. So they sought knowledge because they love knowledge. They love memorizing. They love the book of Allah. And then Allah bestowed upon them ikhlas and the strength of at-tawheed. So the meaning of this statement and similar types isn't that they initially sought knowledge to show off, ria, as munafiqin. No, meaning they sought knowledge for the love of knowledge. They sought knowledge because their parents took them to the gatherings of knowledge. They memorized for the sake of memorizing. And then when they became sincere, Allah bestowed upon them ikhlas and a strength of niyyah and a strength of iman and a strength of at-tawheed and at-taqwa. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, مَجْتَمَعَ قَوْمٌ فِي بَيْتٍ مِّن بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ, that whenever a group of people come together in a house from the houses of Allah, يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ, in order to study the book of Allah, وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ بَيْنَهُمْ, and they mutually study and revise the book of Allah between themselves, إِلَّا نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَ, except that Allah rewards them by sending tranquility upon them, وَغَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةِ, and the mercy of Allah covers them, وَحَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, and the angels surround them, and they lower their wings above them, وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهِ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَهِ, and Allah makes mention of them with those who are with Him. So firstly, this portion of the hadith, it begins with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioning the houses of Allah. And when he says the houses of Allah, he means the masajid. The masajid are the houses of Allah. Because Allah said in the Quran, فِي بُيُوتٍ أَذِنَ اللَّهُ أَن تُرْفَعَ وَيُذْكَرَ فِيهَا اسْمُهُ, in houses which Allah has ordered to be built and for His name to be mentioned therein, either masajid. And why does Allah call the masajid the house of Allah? تَشْرِيفًا وَتَكْرِيمًا, to honor this place. So this doesn't mean what we might understand in the English language, that Allah lives here, na'udhu billah, but it is to honor this place. So they are houses of Allah, meaning they are buildings which Allah has honored. And they are not the houses of Fulan and Allan, rather they belong to Allah. And in these houses, in these buildings, it is the name of Allah which is mentioned, not the name of Fulan and Allan. So the houses of Allah, i.e. the masajid, He didn't order us to construct them to backbite and speak about others. Rather, they were constructed for the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The recitation of the Qur'an, as-salah, making dhikr and remembrance of Allah. And within this is the hadith of the Prophet and knowledge, and that which the Sahaba were upon, and fiqh, and halal, and haram, and so on and so forth. And then he said, يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَيَتَدَارَسُونَ فِي مَا بَيْنَهُمْ, that these people, they come together in this place, not any other place, this place. And why this place? Because there's extra fadl and extra virtue in these places. So yes, there is reward for reciting the Qur'an at home, and there is reward for gathering and reciting in the places outside. But the masajid have a special status. So the Prophet specified the masajid in this hadith. And then they come to recite his book and study his book. And then he mentioned the reward. And amongst the reward is, وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهِ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَهِ, and that Allah makes mention of them with those who are with Him. الجزاء من جنس العمل, meaning, you made mention of Allah and you made dhikr of Allah here in this house, in this dunya, so then Allah makes mention of you above the seven heavens and above the earth. Because al-jaza min jins al-amal. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that Allah says, man dhakarani fi mala'in dhakartuhu fi mala'in khayrun minhum, that whoever remembers me in a congregation, I will remember him in a congregation which is much better than the congregation. And as for coming together and congregating and reciting the book of Allah together, then this happens in different ways. So for example, people sit in a circle and in one voice, in unison, they recite the Quran. in unison. They recite three or four words, they recite an ayah, and they all recite it together. If this is done to rectify the tajweed of the people and the tilawa, and they're trying to memorize the book of Allah, then this is something which is permitted. However, if it is done ta'abbudan, then it isn't for the sake of tilawa, but people think that this reciting in unison and congregation, this is ibadah, then it becomes a bid'ah. Like those people who make dhikr of Allah and they do it in unison, in one voice. All of them say, La ilah, la ilah, illallah, illallah, Allah, Allah. Who, and like that. It becomes an innovation. But if this recitation of the Quran is done, even if it's in congregation unison, but it is for the sake of learning, for education, like a teacher may do with the students. So for example, let's say he recites an ayah, then everybody else recites the same ayah. Or he tells them that all of you together recite the ayatul kursi bit by bit in order to aid memorization as a form of education, then this is something which is permitted. And it enters into this hadith. But a person does this in congregation as a form of ibadah, then it becomes a bid'ah. And this was mentioned by Al-Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah. The second way this may happen is that they're sitting in a gathering, one person recites a portion of the Quran and everybody else remains silent. And then a second person recites another portion of the Quran and everybody remains silent. And then a third person recites the portion of the Quran and everybody remains silent. And by this they are reading and listening to the Quran of each other. This also enters into this hadith that they are studying and reciting the book of Allah. And as Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimullah, he said that this is the way of our ulama. Meaning in Najd, this is the way that the ulama are upon. That for example, let's say after Fajr, they sit together and let's say they want to recite Surah Al-Baqarah. So we say, okay, first you recite the first page. And everybody sits silently listening or reading with him silently. And then the next person recites the second page. And then the third person recites the third page. And everybody remains silent. This also enters into this hadith, into this great reward. And then there is a third type of congregation. And that is what often occurs in our masajid today. That we come to the masjid, but each one is reciting the Quran individually, independently. One person is sitting over there on the row. Another person sits in the back. Another person sits over here. And each one is quietly, individually reciting the Quran. This also, bi-idhnillah, enters into this hadith. So the only exception to this hadith is when people come together and they recite in congregation and they recite in unison in one voice, but not as a form of hifz or tilawa, rather as a form of ta'abbud. This is when it is a bid'ah. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, they never used to do this. But if it is a form of education, hifz, to improve the people's recitation, it is permitted. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man batta'a bihi 'amaluhu lam yusri' bihi nasabu." That anybody whose actions slow him down, his lineage will not hasten him. Meaning, a person who slows his entrance into Jannah by not doing the actions, he delays his own entrance into Jannah, then he will not be hastened on account of his lineage. So a person doesn't follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but then he says, but I'm a Sayyid, I'm a Sharif, I'm Hashimi. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, any person whose action delays him, his lineage does not hasten him. Because a person entering into Jannah and the karam, the nobility of a person is according to his taqwa and his actions. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. The most virtuous and honored amongst you are those who are the most pious, i.e. in actions. Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu said, Inna al-arda la tuqaddisu ahad. Innama yuqaddisuhu amaluhu. That a person is not sanctified by the land where he was born. Rather, a person is sanctified by his actions. So a person could be born in England, Dar al-Kufr, And he is better, much better than a person who is born in Al-Madinah or born in Makkah around the Kaaba, because of this person's actions and that person's actions. And then this hadith of course contains many benefits. Many of the benefits have been mentioned, walhamdulillah. One of the main benefits is this principle, Al-Jaza'u min jins al-amal. And we'll finish by mentioning the statement of Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen when he explained this hadith. When he mentioned about helping other believers and relieving other Muslims and alleviating the distress of others and aiding others and delaying the loans of others and all these meanings which are found in this hadith, then he said, وَلَيْتَنَا نَتَأَدَّبُ بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ. If only we lived and we had the manners which are mentioned in this hadith. وَنَحْرِسُ عَلَى تَفْرِيجِ الْكُرَبَاتِ. And we focus on relieving each other's difficulties, anxieties and distresses. وَعَلَى التَّيْسِيرِ عَلَى الْمُعْسِرِ. And making easy for the person who is in difficulty. وَعَلَى سِتْرِ مَنْ يَسْتَحِقَ السِّتْرِ. And concealing the weaknesses and the sins of those people who are worthy of their sins being concealed. وَعَلَى مَعُونَةِ مَنْ يَحْتَاجُ إِلَى مَعُونَةِ. And helping and giving those who are in need of our help. لِأَنَّ هَذِهِ الْآدَابِ ليس المراد بها مجرد أن ننظر فيها. He said that these adab, these etiquettes, the point in this hadith isn't that we merely know these etiquettes, وأن نعرفها, and that we merely aware of these etiquettes. بل المراد أن نتخلق بها. Rather, the point in this hadith is that we adorn ourselves with these etiquettes. We live according to these adab. فرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما ساقها من أجل أن نتخلق بها. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he only mentioned these etiquettes, so we live by these etiquettes. لا يريد منا أن نعلمها فقط. He doesn't want from us that we merely memorize the hadith or we merely know these manners. بل يريد أن نتخلق بها. But he wants for us to live and symbolize these etiquettes. ولذلك كان سلفنا الصالح من الصحابة رضي الله عنهم والتابعين. And for this reason, our righteous salaf from the Sahaba and the Tabi'in كانوا يتخلقون بالأخلاق التي يعلمهم نبيهم محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. They would implement and adorn themselves with the akhlaq and the adab which their Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught them. And I add to this that if we lived with these meanings and we adorned ourselves with these etiquettes, by Allah, you'd see our da'wah and it would spread far away. It would spread far and afar. People would enter into the religion of Allah, and people would accept the correct aqidah and the correct manhaj if we had these manners and etiquettes which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. And even our enemies, if we showed them Islam and we helped them and we removed their difficulties and we looked out for their benefits, even if they didn't accept our da'wah, they would still say, but this person is upon the truth. Maybe they don't accept the truth because of arrogance. Maybe they don't accept the truth because of stubbornness, but they would know that the truth is with this person. So that which keeps the people away from our da'wah is our own bad manners, and that we don't help the people. So the Muslim, he should personify these matters. A Muslim isn't only there to better the akhirah of the people, but to also better the dunya of the people. And for this reason, throughout history, the Muslims, when they entered into any land, that land became better. That land became less corrupt. And there was more justice. And it was cleaner. And they helped the people. And so people entered into Islam. Whereas nowadays, wallahu al-musta'an, it is the Muslim areas and the Muslim houses, the Muslim communities which are full of drugs and litter and causing a burden upon the society instead of relieving the burden from society. وَإِلَى اللَّهِ الشَّكْوَى وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا وَسَلَّمُ